Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Burt Show.
Kristen asked me an interesting question I didn't have a chance to address in its entirety about half an hour ago about the beautiful Christmas tree my son and I decorated just the other day with beautiful Christmas lights from Lowe's.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Lowe's is a bad name around here, but it's the one right down the street. If there was a Home Depot, I'd go there. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I am friends with your girlfriend, and we follow each other on social media, and I saw her post a text exchange between the two of you on her Insta story and asking if this is really what you and Hollis considered quality work on putting the lights on the Christmas tree. And as I was looking at the photo of said Christmas tree with said lights on it, it literally looks like you guys just stepped back, just threw the lights at it, and walked away.
How dare you?
Y'all did such a bad job.
Like it was one of the, one of the Pollock paintings was a Christmas tree. That's yes. What we did with the lights. Uh-huh. How dare you?
There was like this weird snake up the back. There's holes. They weren't like properly like intertwined with the branches. Like yeah. it was subpar lighting.
Yeah, so, where I come from, we call that half-assing it.
Yes.
Oh, how
in
dare
my neck
you.
Of the woods,
oh. More like a quarter ass.
This hurts my soul. Hurts my soul. No, it doesn't. Okay, so it's a little bit layered here.
Is it?
All right, the first part.
Those lights sure weren't.
The first part of this, I am going to, even though we are co-parenting in a wonderful way, putting this squarely on my ex-wife. Squarely on my ex-wife. Because all those years that we were together, for 20 years, she took Christmas and takes Christmas so seriously. I think Cassie posted the old school video on theburtshow.com of Stacy's obsession with Santa's. Obsession. We went through the house back in 2006. Is that when it was? Yeah. Something like that. 2006, and made a video of all the Santas that she had in the house, and we counted them all, and it's up online right now. It's kind of lengthy, but it ended up being 155 Santas in the house.
It's like hidden Mickeys at Disney. They're not hidden. They're just everywhere.
There's so many Santas.
So obsessive. But she handles everything like that, man. She throws herself into it. So it got to a point where when we were supposed to be decorating the Christmas tree and the house together, Stacy liked things in a very particular way. So while I was, it might have taken me one, maybe two seasons of me going and putting lights on or putting an ornament here and an ornament there on the Christmas tree and Stacy right behind me and the kids while we would go ahead and we would put these on the Christmas tree and immediately remove it and put it in an area that was symmetrical and worked better for her than it did for the rest of the family.
I too am a control freak when it comes to the Christmas decorations.
So I will say this, that I think me and the kids backed away from Mom while she was decorating for Christmas. So no, we didn't have a lot of experience putting up the Christmas lights or the Christmas trees together, right?
But how long have you been divorced?
A couple of years now, about, what, is it 8, 9?
You're closing in on a decade, sir.
Yeah, but
so you've had 10 years to learn how to put Christmas tree lights on.
But when I was by myself and okay. I was single, I didn't really put up Christmas trees and lights.
So when you and Hollis put the lights on that tree and you step back, I am genuinely curious. Did you guys really think you did a good job?
Well, let's there's a second part of it.
There's a second part called weaponized incompetence.
Ooh.
So,
which we're getting to with the Kelsey's here in a second.
I do remember sort of this back and forth, I don't even know what to call it, dance that Stacy used to do with the lights around the tree and then working its way down as though it was a skier on a black diamond, yeah, right?
You weave it in and out, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, I saw it from a distance. So when Hollis said to me, how do we do this? I said, we'll just do it the way your mom did it. So we started, I think we actually started at the bottom and ended up at the top. Instead of starting at the top, and going to the bottom, which I don't even know that matters. But we did realize that
it does, because you want the cord at the bottom to plug it in.
Yeah, man.
You don't want the cord coming all the way down.
It was in the middle of the tree, and Amanda wasn't happy with that yesterday. So she comes on over to the house, and I thought that I bought 200 lights, and it's not a big tree, and I thought that was plenty, right? So when we were done with it, and I looked back at it, and it wasn't great, but it was doable.
You thought it was passable?
I thought it was passable. She came over.
Passable. Your tree looks like when the elf on the shelf decides to mess up Christmas and get into trouble with the tree.
It was passable in the way that you just walk past it because you don't want to look at the tree. That's how bad it looks.
No, I will be 100% with you guys and say that there was a football game coming on and we realized that we needed to do the tree just a couple of minutes before the game came on, so maybe we were rushing a little bit just to be right there in front of the TV for kickoff.
How terrible that you can't watch a TV and decorate a tree at the same time.
Not possible.
It must be so difficult.
And, you know, if they would only create a device where you could pause a game and put the lights on and then go back to the live version of the game, that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly technology's not there yet.
Or it would be crazy if during the live versions of these games, they would have like 4 to 5 minutes where there's nothing happening except for commercials. And then, like, you know, you could actually take a break and do something else other than watch the TV during those 4 minutes.
Who would want to rush putting up the sanctity of Christmas lights in 4 minutes?
You're not rushing. You're doing it in increments. There's also this thing called a halftime, I've heard. That occurs during these football games.
It's like 15 minutes.
Yeah, where you can like go and run and like pee pee and do other things.
Yeah, and every guy I've ever met thought 4 minutes was a really long time. So I don't really know where the disconnect is here.
So I will say all of that.
Yeah.
Right? All of that. Putting up all of the lights, and there were again 200 lights. She came over yesterday, and when she rearranged it and I think there were some very unchristian words that were being shouted out of her mouth as she was doing that. Because this is the one thing in the house that we had to do. When she was done with it, only one third of the tree was covered in lights. I didn't realize like I needed 600 to 800 lights for this little tree.
Yeah, it's not a little tree. It's a like it's not a massive tree. It's like a regular sized tree. But yeah, 200 lights ain't going to get you there, Podge.
And again, Stacy going up and over the top. We lived in a much bigger house before with big old ceilings, man. Big old ceilings. So she would bring in these Christmas trees that were like floor to ceiling. They were huge. So I look at this one, and it looks like a little Charlie Brown tree to me compared to what she trained us on. So the bottom third of the tree is done. We have to work on the top two thirds today.
We or Amanda?
Amanda.
The Burt Show.
You love him. You just don't trust him to be around your kids without you around. Okay, we can use the voice disguiser for this. 1-855-BURT-SHOW. Totally honest, right? Nobody's going to know it's you, but are you a mom that, you know what, you love your husband, but bless him, you do not trust him around the kids alone. So it was Kylie Kelce here that is bringing this up because she has herself a brand new podcast, and she is the wife of Jason Kelce. Who is the brother of Travis Kelce.
Who is dating Taylor Swift.
Okay, so it's getting complicated here, and everybody's getting in on the podcast now, man. So now Kylie has done one, and it's really good. I mean, she's very, very honest, and when you're this honest, it's going to come with controversy. And she did that, that's for sure, just a couple of days ago when she was talking about herself and talking about her husband and their arrangement when it comes to the kids and her always scheduling childcare. If he's around or not.
It's well known that you watch the kids while Jason podcasts. Will Jason be watching the girls while you do this show? How do I say this nicely? No. When I have to do something, coaching, something for Eagles Autism Foundation, podcast, a doctor's appointment even, I will schedule childcare. My husband could tell me 72 times that he is going to be in the house during the times when I have to leave it. I will still schedule childcare, and it is not a knock on my husband. My husband is busier than he has ever been. He is working so hard and really grinding right now. And so I just make sure that I'm covered. And if that means that he's at the house and someone else is there, then that's what we have going on. He will not be watching the kids. He's okay. Not watching them right now. I think he's in meetings.
Okay. So I'm only going to stick up for him in this one area. that he is working from home.
Yeah.
So if he is working in the house, I used to struggle with this with my kids also, is that it's very difficult on a family because in most families, dad or mom go to work or whatever and they're not in the house. So when you have young kids and dad is in the house, but he's working, it's very difficult to try to explain that to him. Like, this is no different than me going to an office, except I'm here. So I don't know if that's what she's talking about or not, but to me, that's the only defense.
And it's so it's funny because you see the headlines and you read the story and it actually presents very differently when you listen to the actual clip and you get the context of it. Because when I first saw the headline, I'm like, we are rewarding this man's incompetency. And it's not just his fault. It's both of their faults, mostly his fault. If she feels like she can't leave the kids alone in his presence without having childcare, like, you got to hold your person, the other parent accountable for knowing how to take care of the kids when you're not there. But listening to her talk, it sounds like, okay, it's not that she's running an errand and leaving him a home alone, you know, home with the kids to watch the kids. It's actually like, no, he's working too. And so I took it a little differently hearing it than just reading the headline. But the way I took it before, if you are unable to leave your children alone with your spouse without childcare, you both have created this situation and you both have to be held accountable. Because I wanted to play this in conjunction with the clip because it's the timing is impeccable. And I think it's so important for especially moms to hear this. Peaceful.mamabear said that we have to step back and stop being controlling so dads can do things on their own.
He bathed a baby on his night off and I corrected something that he was doing. I can't remember what it was, whether it was the way he was holding it or something. And the next day when Matt was back at work, Mum said to me, "Bridie, do not become the expert in that baby." I said, "What do you mean?" And she's a midwife, nurse, and mother of four, so she knows what she's talking about. She said, "You become the expert in that baby, you'll be the expert in the toddler. And then when it's school time, you'll be the expert in the kid. You'll be the one they call everyone to school, call you for everything. Your husband will turn to you for everything. You will end up running this household and making every single decision. And it starts now." And she says, "He's doing a great job. And when you correct him, all you're doing is undermining his confidence. And so if you don't want to be the expert in the baby, you have to let him do it his way. And for the rest of your parenting life, you are going to see him do things that you think are the most insane things that you've ever seen in your life. He's going to bathe that baby in a way that makes absolutely no sense to you. Not your problem. Don't correct it. You have to let him do it." Because, and I think that's very sympathetic as well to the men, and also goes back to there being nothing inherently biological in me or in Matt about the baby. It's all about practice.
Y'all are liars. There's nobody calling saying that they totally and completely don't trust your husbands with the kids. 1-855-VIRGIO.
You know, the more I hear from Kylie Kelsey, the more I like her. Because mm-hmm. all I hear is a spouse that is completely supportive of her other working spouse and puts measures in place to make sure that he is successful and that the children are successful. There's nothing wrong. What I imagine happens is he'll be at home and then there's some emergency meeting that he has to attend and everyone can meet right now. And he's scrambled. Like, I'm guessing something like that happened over and over again. And I know this because this happens in my life where my afternoon's free. And then all of a sudden, oh God, all hands on deck meeting got to happen now. Hey, Chad, can you take the kids? So I think it's lovely. This mama bear chick, I have an issue with her.
Okay.
If you want to be, I understand what she's saying, not correcting people, like if they just bathe the kid differently from you, if there's no wrong answer. But if you're doing something that is actually wrong, I'm going to correct you. And it is your job to be an expert just like me.
Give an example.
Well, you have access to the same book. So let's say like the husband is or the wife, like whoever your spouse is, heating the formula wrong to feed the baby. Right. Oh, you're going to let him figure it out by himself? Nah, he has access to the same materials and the same books. I'm going to step in and correct it. And I'm going to do that over and over again. And if he continues to be incompetent, I'm going to step up and say, here are the books. You need to read them because, again, I'm not better than you. I just did the work and it's time for you to do the work too. But I'm not going to let the kids suffer because of that.
But how often? So parenting is there's a lot of subjectiveness to it. One person's way may not be another person's way. Sleep training, not sleep training, etc. So do you think we can get caught up in my way is the right way and maybe there is another way to do it that is okay?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think you know your partner best. Like, I'm lucky. I have one who does put in the work. And a lot of my friends, their partners do as well. So I don't know what it's like to have a partner who's not pulling their weight. But for sure, there are ways where it's in your head. You're like, this is the only way, and that's not accurate.
I think that's what she's referring to
here. It just sounded like pandering to a spouse who wasn't willing to step up to the plate. Like, oh, are you going to let him make mistakes? Who's letting you make mistakes?
Dude, that is so funny because I took it the complete opposite way.
Hold on a second, you guys. May's on hold and she's trying to get on. Hey, May, good morning. You're on The Burt Show.
Good morning. How's everybody doing?
Good morning. Okay, the initial question was, who is listening that just absolutely does not trust their husband with the kids?
I absolutely do not trust my husband. Let's just face it. They're like another kid for you to begin with. You have to tell them exactly what to do, how to do it, because most of the time they just are clueless. And yes, we are clueless too. As a first-time mom, I think I was definitely clueless in many ways. But our intuition is never wrong, I think, and man I will speak for my husband. He was just clueless, period, and I, you know, everything from getting him ready to go to the daycare or to go to, you know, out and about, and he forgets the milk or he forgets three or four things in his backpack, and I'm just like, I don't trust you to take care of our kid. Like, you can't, you know, just don't have your head straight, or I don't know.
Not if the...
I do trust him in other ways. I do trust him when I'm around.
If the mother of my kids came to me and said that, I would do so much self-evaluation. Yes, I'd be offended initially. But then you have to do a search on yourself and go, okay, why is it? What have I done to create that situation? Unless she's completely controlling.
There's that possibility as well.
Then there's that possibility.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CT&C 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
So we're almost there. If we all come together today, I think we can complete the list of 48 minor miracles for the families that we are trying to help out here. The list grew quite a bit over the course of the last couple of days. We helped out one family and you guys were so good about it. We're like, well, let's call Proposity and see if there are any other family members around town that could use the help. And they had 48 families that were in queue that they've already vetted through social workers and different social programs that are saying, hey, these are the families right here that just need an item here and an item there, and it'll totally change their Christmas.
Yeah, we looked at the list and that Proposity sent us who we're working with, and they were like, there's 48 families, 329 needs, a total of $14,000 in items that could really turn these families' Christmases and end of year around. And we're like, Burt Show Fam can do that. After what they did for our breaking and entering family, which is going to be happening next Friday.
Yes, it is.
So you'll be able to hear the magic of everything that happens when we actually break and enter into her daughter's home and deck it out for Christmas. But we looked at that list and we were like, this is totally doable for the Burt Show Fam to band together and to cross these items off of these lists to just help these families and give them a smile and give them a mini miracle for the holidays.
Yeah, it's not going to cost you a lot of cash on this one. So when you go to theburtshow.com and you look at the Minor Miracles link, you'll see, like, Rev Up Joy, for instance, is the title that Proposity gave to us. And it's a student that has one simple wish this Christmas, a racing video game for his console. That was it. His parents are facing financial challenges and just wants this small little gift. In Fairburn, it's only going to cost $74. Then you look at another one that's Safety on the Go. Family of six is navigating life with limited resources. Dad works hard in construction. Mom stays home to care for their five kids, including one-year-old twins that have special needs. Twins have outgrown their infant car seats, and new convertible car seats are essential to keep them safe on the road. All they want for Christmas is a freaking car seat. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's a minor miracle right there. So we've cleared about two-thirds of the list, correct?
Correct, yes. As a of right now. We have granted, or you guys rather, have granted 225 wishes. And that means we got about 100 wishes. We got about 100 needs left to fill. And we have just helped out all 48 families.
All right. So it can be done today. Maybe by tomorrow morning, we can come in here and go, our work is done here. That would be awesome for not even a lot of money. And that list is up on thebertshow.com. All right, polar opposite of that, Santa scared straight here.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a pivot.
Hard turn.
There are some kids that Santa calls that you tell us about that you already know are on the naughty list. And the only thing that's going to work is getting Santa to give him a call and go, look, I'm checking you out. And I'm seeing that you threw another kid's beanie in a toilet, and that toilet had things in it.
Oh.
So Santa called Matthew, who is 6 years old, and this was a tough case. This kid was not feeling Santa.
Hello?
Ho, ho, ho! It's Santa. Is Matthew there?
Mm-hmm.
Matthew, it's Santa. How are you?
Good.
Well, that didn't sound very excited. Are you not excited to talk to me?
I am.
Doesn't sound like... Let's start over. All right. I need more excitement, okay? Up the energy level. Let's pretend you're just answering the phone. Say hello.
Hello.
Ho, ho, ho. It's Santa. Is this Matthew?
Yes.
That's like maybe a point better. You feeling okay?
Yes.
Are you afraid Santa's calling with bad news?
No.
What's wrong?
Nothing.
You sure?
I'm sure.
All right, well, I think you may be feeling something that's coming. I wanted to call you because, you know, Christmas is going to be here in just a couple weeks, and we need to talk about a few things, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's talk about you misbehaving more than usual at school.
Okay.
I'm looking at my Santa Vision because I have cameras everywhere, even at school. I'm looking at video of you in the bathroom, and we position the cameras in the bathroom a certain way so we don't, you know. Anyway, I see you taking another kid's beanie and putting it in the toilet. Is that you?
Mm-hmm.
And was the toilet empty?
Mm-mm.
What was in the toilet?
Poop.
Oh, poop. Oh. Was it your poop?
No.
Whose poop was it?
I don't know.
So somebody left their poop behind?
Yes.
Number one, who doesn't flush in this day and age?
Kids.
You know, that's an automatic way to the naughty list.
Every kid.
Nobody wants to see that when they go into the stall, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask this. What kind of hat or beanie did you put in the toilet?
It was a Philadelphia 76ers beanie.
It was a Philadelphia 76ers beanie. I take it you're not a fan.
Nope.
Did you just feel like throwing his hat in the toilet? Why did you do it?
Because it was sitting there.
Because it was sitting there. You know, if he ended up digging that out of the toilet and he wore that hat all day, you know what he'd be?
Mm.
Pooped. Get it? Pooped.
Yeah, I think it's funny.
Would you throw Santa's hat in the toilet?
No.
No, you wouldn't. Hey, did you think it was a skibbity toilet and it needed a hat?
No.
Do you know what a skibbity toilet is?
What is it?
It's like a, well, you may learn about it when you're older, if it's still a thing. Hey, what do you call a hat in a toilet?
What?
A crap cap.
You're funny.
One other thing. I'd like to just point out that we at the North Pole, we do not make the skibbity toilet toys that have become so popular on Amazon and Walmart and Target. In fact, there seems to be an underground skibbity syndicate that makes these absurd potty humor toys. My elves wouldn't touch those with a 10-foot candy cane. Sorry Santa's droning on and on about this, but hey, that's one thing I could check off your list. A drone. Well, I've been droning on and on about this hat in the toilet. I'd say mission accomplished.
No, the really strong drones, the ones that fly.
Oh! Ho, ho, ho. I got my drones mixed up, I guess. All right, well, I think if you stop throwing hats in the toilet, I think you'll be okay for Christmas, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas, Matthew!
Merry Christmas, Santa.
Bye.
Bless Santa. Didn't have a lot to work with there. Matthew, don't AF.
No, it wasn't that. I think he was genuinely fearing for his life. It was like he was standing in front of a firing squad.
It was a little threatening, like you wouldn't throw Santa's hat in the toilet, would you?
I have cameras in the bathroom watching.
I'm watching you poop.
Well, compared to other kids that have like used scissors to cut other kids' fingers recently.
They were attempting to.
Or cutting off grandma's oxygen. This was really a minor offense.
It was. Okay. A beanie in a toilet, I think we can get past that.
All right, so do you have a kid that for sure is right in the middle of that naughty list and needs a call from Santa? Go ahead, hit us up at thebirdshow.com and we got Santa scared straight for you.
Listen, it's The Bird Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's The Bird Show's entertainment buzz.
It's that time of the year. I'm not necessarily talking about Christmas, but I am talking about the fact that everybody you know is getting engaged this time of year. Oh, and everybody is not limited to celebrities. And of course, we have a big celebrity engagement announcement. Selena Gomez and Benny Blanco are engaged.
Good for her.
Yay, that's exciting.
Good for her. She deserves this. She takes so much S.
Oh my gosh.
So much, man. And she's talked about her struggles with mental health, which I almost think makes people think like, oh, she's a vulnerable target. Let's go in even harder. And she survived it and she seems happy. I just wish she would retire from social media and go be happy.
I completely agree, but I'm glad she hasn't retired yet because, of course, I wanted to see all the photos of the proposal and the ring. I will say the one thing that people are commenting on with the actual proposal is it looks like wherever Benny decided to propose to Selena, it looks like he set up a fake park for her because it's like, oh, at first glance, like, oh, this is like a cute little outdoor setup. And then you look a little bit closer and you're like, is that like a movie backdrop? Like, what? Where is this? And then another cool thing that people are pointing out is the ring that he gave her is stunning. It's this beautiful, like 4 or 5 or 6 carat marquee diamond. And she has a song.
Look at that.
That she says, I'm a marquee diamond. I'm a marquee diamond. So kind of a cool callback to her music as well. So really, really happy for them. And he proposed with Taco Bell, her favorite.
That is so cute.
Besides the sheer size of it, is it a beautiful ring?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
I love it. It's not over the top. Like, I hate it when celebrities get, like, 15-carat diamond rings. I'm like, nobody is wearing that out and about. It is just such a waste of money. Whereas this is the kind of ring that, like, yes, it shows that obviously Benny Blanco makes a lot of money, but it's the kind of thing that, like, she can wear out and about for the rest of her life, and it's not going to be something that's weighing her down constantly. It's beautiful. And the other thing is, I saw this clip recently of Benny talking about why he loves Selena and just how much he loves her. And if a man doesn't talk about me this way, I don't want it.
She's the biggest W in the world.
Really? What do you like most about her?
She's the best girl I ever met in my entire life.
What makes her the best girl that you met?
She's the funniest, sweetest, most caring. She's also a boss. She's like the most, like, does everything in the world. She's like about to get like an Oscar right now. She's in like the best movie. She's an amazing singer. Mm-hmm. She's everything.
I should have mentioned that there was a little overlay where they put Selena's reaction to getting proposed. So the screaming you heard, that was Selena.
Gotcha.
And just to be clear, it's not a 15-carat diamond, but it is 8 carats.
Oh, I mean, it's not cheap. I mean, it's definitely a 6-figure ring for sure.
Here's my question though, and not to throw any like shade on it, but so Benny is 36 and Selena is 32. They've only been dating a year, which if I knew anyone who was going to get engaged after a year, I'd be like, are you sure? Because it's a year versus the rest of your life. But if my friends in their 30s did that, I'd be like, no, I feel like you know yourself well enough now that it's not a thing. So does that year, only a year, raise a red flag for anybody?
Not at all.
No. Everybody's on their own timetable. I got to be real here. Sometimes I feel way more opinionated on the show because we need content. Off the air, I don't care, man. If they're happy, who gives a darn?
Nice save.
I care because if they get divorced, we're getting a banger of an album.
That is facts. I do think at some point, like when you know, you know. I know that's a cliche and I know some people wouldn't agree with that, but all the couples that I know that seem to be really peaceful in their relationships, had somewhat quick engagements. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with waiting 4 or 5 or 6 years to get engaged. Again, everyone's on their own timeline. But if you're 32 and you're 36 and you want to start your lives together, in the words of When Harry Met Sally, when you decide that you want to spend the rest of your life with someone, you kind of want it to start as soon as possible.
Can I say that I absolutely hate the internet? So I do a quick search just to check out the ring because you were talking about it and you were showing it from across the room and I couldn't see it. And the first article that comes up is Selena Gomez and Benny Blanco are engaged. And the internet hates it. And then there are a bunch of memes and a bunch of X's or tweets or whatever you want to call it, right? And it's, oh, congratulations to her, ... I think.
Why they hate it?
Because I think people think that Selena is out of Benny's league. But I'm like, this is her person. She's happy with him. Like, why does it matter to you whether or not you think that she should be dating? Like, the other thing is a lot of her fans still feel like they will never get over her relationship with Justin Bieber. Right. Like, you know, at the Met Gala carpet and Hailey was on the carpet and they were like shouting Selena at her. And then Hailey was like holding back tears. People are still stuck in the past. Whereas like everybody's moved on. You got to let them find their people.
Yeah. Here are more, right? It's just infuriating. What can you can you let her have just a couple of hours? Benny Blanco go asking Selena for money so he can buy her a ring.
Oh my God.
And it's a picture of Kevin James with that Kevin James smirk. Here's another one. Ugly dude seeing Benny Blanco propose to Selena Gomez in another meme. Can she just have it for a day? Initial reports are confirming that the engagement ring Justin Bieber purchased for Hailey Bieber costs 4 times as much as the one Benny Blanco bought for Selena Gomez. Can you just not leave her alone for 24 hours?
It's ridiculous. It's absolutely obscene.
Also, I feel like Benny Blanco is worth like 50 mil or something. I think it's so nice that she is engaged to someone who doesn't ascribe to the need to look like every other dude in Hollywood and can just be himself. I've interviewed Benny, and he is one of the nicest celebs you'll ever meet.
He seems like such a cool dude, and he is one of like the most successful producers in the music industry, so leave him alone. Let him be happy. For more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
Listen, it's the Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane. Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
So Abby was very honest with us a couple of weeks ago when she said around the holidays when she's hanging out with the family, bless her little heart, had herself a little bit of a breakdown.
Yeah.
And she's reframing it.
It was a white wine-fueled breakdown where I was sitting at dinner with my entire family. We had been to a winery. I'd had a couple of glasses, but a respectable amount of glasses, not an alcoholic amount of glasses, just enough to endure family small talk for 4 to 5 hours. And I was sitting in between two couples. I was sitting between my cousin who just got married and then my brother who is now in this very fast-paced serious relationship, and I just kind of hit my breaking point in the middle of it where I was like, I'm gonna die alone. And
which very well could be.
No, literally that's a possibility. Everyone in my DMs afterwards was like, you're gonna find your person. I'm like, you don't know that. You literally don't know that. I could thanks for the optimism, but you don't know that. But also I was kind of reflecting on this for the last couple of weeks. I'm like, sometimes these segments sort of take on a life of their own where it's like the original point that I was trying to make just seems to get lost in it sometimes. I'm like, I'm either really bad at my job or like, I don't know, maybe people are interpreting things differently. Yeah. Like with the Chuck E. Cheese thing yesterday, I was like, I'm matched with him because I was worried he like loved kids. He didn't just like kids. You know what I mean? It wasn't like hating on him for having a job.
Right. Okay. Let me sidebar for just 1 second.
Yeah.
You're tremendous at your job.
Oh, thank you.
And you're funnier and funnier all the time and more vulnerable and more vulnerable all the time. The one thing I would say is that you just got to remember, man, everybody comes from their own walks of life and they see things through their own individual lens. So what you're trying to relay is so different from a person that has a different life experience that you almost can't even take it into account. Because we all see the world so differently.
Right. And so people will take things that you say and something will resonate with them for good or for bad. And that's what they'll take from the segment. And really, the reason why I brought up that segment was in the bathroom of that Dahlonega restaurant, I was having a mental breakdown of thinking it was about one thing. And of course, there was some truth to the things I was upset about. But in hindsight, I looked back and I was like, oh, I think deep down I was actually upset about this instead.
And 90% of you guys understand and know this. We've gone through this now for 20 years and you're intelligent enough to already know this, that this is an embellished vision of what we really are. Okay. So when Abby is talking, well, maybe she's not that embellished. I'm kidding.
She's so, just that messed up.
It's an embellished version of what we are. And I think it's what makes us what we have for years and years and years. Look, I have to fill the studio with interesting, vulnerable people that are different from each other, that are willing to share. In most circles, you don't have friends that do that. Okay, so when we do it, it can be a little bit shocking, and it certainly has given some of you guys the entitlement to judge about it based on the way you're hearing and not necessarily what's really going on. Does that make any sense?
It does, but also don't get it twisted. Like, we're allowed to have opinions. You're allowed to have opinions about our opinions. You're totally allowed to not agree with us. You're allowed to, obviously, everybody, like you said, everybody's going to see it through your lens. Like, I recognize this is what we signed up for. And like, when we come on here and we share certain aspects of our life, it opens us up to criticism. Some of you guys are a little nicer about it than others. But yeah, I mean, I can't sit here and say you're not allowed to have your take when I have my personal take. You are well within your right to have yours.
Cybertruck owners can call up right now and they can go, Bert, you are treating us unfairly. And I would say, you know what? Like, you're right.
Yep.
You guys are embellishing.
What? Yeah, it's just certainly scary when you log on to TikTok and you see all of incel TikTok just flaming you in the comments. But anyway, we're getting off track for the original point.
Once again,
I know it's taking on a life of its own. So yeah, I had this mental breakdown in the bathroom where I was like, nobody had to wait this long to find their person. Everyone's getting married and having kids at 23. It's just not fair. And then when I was reflecting on it on the ride home, I realized there was a deeper emotional issue about my childhood trauma of always feeling left out of my family, always feeling like I wasn't in the in-group in my family. And once again, feeling like that was happening now that that side of the family started finding their people and having kids. I'm like, oh, here I am once again on the outside. And I realized that's where that emotional gut punch came from. But there, to everyone else's point, there was a small part of me feeling like, oh my God, is this just never going to happen to me? Mm-hmm. Like at some point you do have to look in the mirror and you're like, I'm going to be 28. Like, why is it that I haven't found my person? Like, what has to change about my life? What do I have to do to make this happen? If that's something that I want for my life, which I do, I would like to not die a childless cat lady in a rental apartment in Buckhead when I'm 89. I would like to evolve at some point.
Yeah, at some point you'll move out to Woodstock.
No, Roswell.
And there is absolutely nothing wrong with wanting that for yourself. You actually, what I envisioning, you are Charlotte when they are in the cafe and they are eating and she is so hungover from a night out before. And she's like,
I've been doing this since I was 15. Where is he?
Exactly. That moment right there. And then she just puts her head down on the table and goes, my hair hurts.
That's exactly how I feel. And I'm a total Charlotte too. Like genuinely like a mix between Charlotte and Miranda. Like I want to be a Samantha. Thank God I'm not a Carrie. But I'm definitely in that place where I'm just kind of like, yeah, I'm just sick of this. Yeah. And then after I had my emotional breakdown, and I've realized this about myself, is that I have a very short fuse. And once that fuse blows, I can see rationale. And I started seeing things from a rational standpoint in terms of like just the universe and timing. And I realized, I'm like, everything in my life up until this point, I have no reason to believe that the timing of my life isn't right. I do feel like so many things have worked out in due time. So why should I feel any differently about this? Even though it really sucks, I have to remember that everybody has their own things that they're going through. Life is never going to be without its struggles. This is just the struggle that I'm experiencing right now. And there are some good things to all of their relationships progressing faster than they are for me. Because for example, like with the singleness that I have now, I have the freedom to explore different career opportunities, like getting to move to Atlanta. If I had a boyfriend back in Jacksonville, I might not have taken that opportunity. And I think also there was a weird selfish part of me that was like, wow, it's really nice that they're all going to get engaged, married, and have kids within the next year, because eventually I'll get married, I think, one day. And I don't want to have to compete for attention. Like when I get married, I will be the most obnoxious bride. I will be making it all about me for the next year to year and a half. So let's just press fast forward on all the fun stuff for them so then we can get to me in 2 to 3 years.
I love this realization for you.
So I'm taking that and I'm running with it straight to the liquor store for more wine and more cats.
It's the Bert Show.
The Bert Show.
All right, we've got a couple of minutes left here to do something superficial and BS for a couple of seconds. You guys want to use the phones here, 1-855-BERT-SHOW. If you have ever been stopped mid-sentence by somebody that has said, you know that's not the way you pronounce that word, right? And they look at you like, you're crazy, all right? And you had gone years and years and years using that word, and now as an adult, you're shattered because that's not really the word at all. 1-855-BIRD-SHOW. For me, years ago, it was when I was corrected. I thought it was wheelbarrow. Wheelbarrow.
Like a whiskey barrel?
No, wheelbarrow. And it's wheelbarrow.
That's what I'm saying. Instead of the barrow, you thought it was a barrel.
Barrel,
like a,
yeah.
Yeah, like a whiskey barrel.
So somebody stopped me and they're like, and I'm like, you're an idiot. It's wheelbarrow. And it's not. So there was
wheelbarrow.
Wheelbarrow.
There you go.
Wheelbarrow.
Yeah.
Still gets me confused. So Abby has a new podcast with, quote unquote, the youth group of The Bird Show. And this one came up in mid-recording, and it literally was the funniest thing I had heard all week.
Really?
Oh, my God, yes.
That's such a compliment to Mikey. So we were recording our new podcast that we call Personality Hires, and it's basically just an opportunity for us to talk about, you know, all, like, the water cooler chat that you would typically hear in, like, your company break room. And I can't remember what we were specifically talking about, something to do with Christmas. And Mikey all of a sudden talks about putting ornaments on the Christmas tree. And I think it was Jackson that turns to him and goes, sorry, did you say ornaments? And he goes, yeah, like ornaments. Like you put ornaments on the Christmas tree.
He was using a D instead of an N.
I was like, are you congested? Like, why does it sound like, like you need to blow your nose? And he's like, no, it's ornaments. And we're like, are you getting it mixed with ordinance? Like a sound ordinance? And he goes, no. So he's been saying ornaments his entire life, and we got to educate him.
This man is in his 20s.
Yeah.
This is a 23-year-old man. Alpharetta Public Schools needs to.
I think this is a Mikey thing. I don't think you can put it on a whole district.
Ornaments. That's a bless your heart moment.
Oh, my God. And the way they buried him was beautiful.
Oh, my gosh. We just went in on him because we couldn't believe. He said it with his full chest, too. Like, he didn't even hesitate. He's like, oh, wait, you know, you're right. No, he was like, no, it's ornaments.
I think I used to say craft of wine also.
Oh, instead of
craft? Uh-huh. I thought it was a craft. And on the air, I remember Jack Diamond correcting me and me feeling like so small.
Oh, no. I was in my mid-30s before my husband corrected me. And it's sad because I lived in the state. I always say Massachusetts. Mm. And it's Massachusetts with a T, but yeah. It will forever be Massachusetts.
Somebody called me out on the Bert Show years ago because I just chalked it up to like vernacular and just like, you know, what region you were born and raised in. But people say crayons, like, you know, Crayola crayons, but I always call them crayons.
Like a crown?
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, hand me that red crayon over there. And there was somebody on the show that was like, you're an idiot, and it's pronounced crayon. It's crayon. Not crayon.
Paul, do you remember?
Like the Hermione from Harry Potter.
Paul, do you remember the exact time and place that you were corrected and you're like, what? It's pronounced what?
Actually, I was in the store. And she looked, she was like double take, like when I said it, she was like, huh? And then I reset it again. And then she's like, that's not how it's pronounced.
What was it?
And so it's sherbet, but I pronounce it sherbet.
Sherbet. So like the ice cream. Like the cold sherbet. And like a lot of people say sherbet.
I say sherbet. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Sherbert.
Yeah, I put that R in there, my
man.
I put that R in there, dog.
Yeah, no, you're good.
We're gonna let you pass.
David, good morning. You're on the Bert Show.
Hello, how you doing?
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good.
Okay, the word that you hacked for years.
Apparently, I've been hacking the word sword. I found out it's pronounced sword. I guess they pronounce the W a lot in there.
No W. Who told you that? Someone's messing with you.
Yeah. Who pronounces it sword?
Yeah, it's sword. Dude.
It's a sword.
Someone's messing with you.
Everybody keeps saying sword.
Yeah, well, you're hanging out with a bunch of idiots.
Yeah, they probably say salmon, too.
Yeah, you're the only smart one in your group. It's sword, man.
I appreciate that.
You're good.
All right, we go. Yeah,
Wu-Tang Clan says sword a lot.
Well, no, you can pull it up right now, and it's S-O-R-D is how you pronounce it. It's sword, not sword. Yeah.
But so he said sword, and everybody around him was like, hey, let's mess with him.
Gaslighting him.
No, he's just the smart one in his friend group.
Yeah, right. Good morning, Natasha. You are on the Bert Show.
Hi. So this is actually my husband. For 38 years, he pronounced the word hyena as hyena.
Hyena! Put an extra H in there. Hyena!
He was saying it one day, and I thought it was a joke. I'm like, why do you keep saying it like that? And he was like, wait, how do you say it? And I was like, it's hyena. And he was like, oh, you know, because they laugh, like, ha, ha, ha. So he was like, hyena. And I'm like, no. That's
wrong. Bert, do you mind if I call you out on one?
Is it one that I continually use? Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah. So there is a type of dog that, a dog breed that you will say, and I... You all can weigh in.
Describe the breed.
I know where you're going with this.
And I'll try to butcher it the way I normally do.
What kind of dog is Taco Bell's mascot? Oh.
A chihuahua?
A chihuahua.
Uh-huh.
It's a chihuahua.
Chihuahua.
What's the difference between what you're saying?
You're going chihuahua.
Chihuahua.
No, chihuahua. It's chihuahua.
He's just consistently in awe of those small little creatures. You're always like chihuahua.
That is nitpicking right there.
Abby, we talked to Nellie Sugery, the dating expert, earlier this morning, and I didn't say anything when it happened, but Abby had a word that she said wrong.
Okay. Ooh, you're dumb.
You said...
That's so mean.
Instead of gambit, you said gambit.
Gambit, like the queen's gambit.
No, but you said, in the way you said it, it should have been gamut.
Gamut?
Run the gamut. Run the gamut.
Gambit.
At least you used a real word.
Yeah, that's
you're not that dumb.
That's an SAT word, Tommy. At least I tried.
Yeah, well, you got that SAT question wrong.
The one that drives me crazy every year is it'll happen again this year is Valentine's. Come on, man.
And Wimbledon. With a D, people. There's no T in it.
Remind me who Seamus was. Who was Seamus?
What was that joke?
Yeah,
because it was a dog named Seamus, but the way it's spelled, I thought they named the dog Seamus.
The Irish really did get the pronunciation on that wrong.
You know what? Dumb people, welcome here. You know, door's always open. It's the Bert Show.
The Bert Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.